We continue our series on Nehemiah. Last week, we stopped at chapter 4, which ended on the note of victory. Everything seemed to go on well as God's people did God's work together, despite all the obstacles. Sword in one hand and trowel in the other, the Jews would not let their enemies stop them, and they completed rebuilding the Jerusalem wall in 52 short days. And we were told in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15 to 16, that when all the enemies heard this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence, because they realized that the work has been done with God's help. Today we continue with chapter 5, and immediately we hear of what that has been described as the rise of a great outcry. The word used here was the same word that described the complaints of the Israelites under the Egyptian oppression in Exodus chapter 3 verse 9. It underlies the severity of that. And what had made it worse was that before they were oppressed by the foreigner Egyptian Pharaoh, now they were oppressed by their own flesh and blood. The outcry had come from the poorer Jews who had been rebuilding the wall and their wives. Several kinds of complaints emerged in verses 2 to 5, each concerning some cause of hardship. And all these made worse by the preoccupation with the building of the wall. The poorer Jews were desperate with hunger, and they needed grain to feed themselves and their families. Some had mortgaged their fields, their vineyards, and their houses for money to buy grain. Some had borrowed money in order to pay the heavy tax levied by the Persian king on their fields and vineyards. Some even had to enslave their children so as to pay their debts. And who were these poorer Jews borrowing money from? The richer Jews, the nobles and officials within the Jerusalem community, whom the poorer Jews called to be their brothers, and who built the wall together with them not too long ago. The law in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 6, 19 to 20, had stipulated that loans that were made to fellow Jews had to be interest-free. There was no interest on money. There was no interest to be paid on food. There was no interest on anything that was lent on interest. A Jew may charge a foreigner interest, but never a fellow Jew. Yet these poorer Jews were charged interest by the richer Jews so that they could not repay the debts, and some of them had to sell their daughters into slavery as they no longer owned their fields and vineyards, having mortgaged them. This did not come about suddenly. The problem had been there even before the rebuilding of the wall under Nehemiah. The Jews had begun resettling in Israel some 80 years since the Persian king Cyrus allowed them to return. Perhaps it was because they had finished rebuilding the wall that they felt that they could now dealt with the problem. Perhaps it had now reached breaking point that the Jews could now protest. We do not know exactly. Nehemiah was naturally very angry when the complaints were brought up to him. For him, it was going against God's law. It was exacting interest from a fellow Jew who had borrowed out of poverty and need. It was indeed an irony for Nehemiah, who had redeemed the Jews from exile, only to have them sold into slavery again by their fellow Jews. It was not walking in the fear of the Lord, and it brought dishonor to God from the enemies of Israel. Nehemiah could have ignored the problem. After all, it had been going on for a long time, perhaps for the past 80 years. He could choose to do nothing and sweep the people's complaints under the carpet. Yet, Nehemiah chose to confront the nobles and officials. And he did it at the risk of placing his position on the line. He challenged the nobles and officials to return the mortgage fields, to return the vineyards, to return the olive orchards and houses, and the interest owed back to the people. And he also challenged them to abandon the exacting of interest from them. And surprisingly, perhaps not surprisingly, the nobles and the officials agreed straight away to restore all that they had taken by mortgage and interest. They even swore by the priests at Nehemiah's bidding. Even when Nehemiah acted out symbolically the curse, matched with swearing of the oath, of an oath that followed, by shaking the fold of his garment, they agreed to it. And they said amen to it, as the whole assembly took upon itself the terms Nehemiah's curse. And this we find in verses 12 to 13. Why did the nobles and officials so readily listen to Nehemiah? I suspect that it was his conduct of positive example that Nehemiah displayed consistently over the past 52 days of working together with the people. And even when the short 52 days stretched out to 12 long years at the end of the 32nd year of the king, of the Persian king Artaxerxes, Nehemiah had remained consistent as he led by example. For 12 long years, remaining consistent to what he had done. Nehemiah did not allow himself or any of his assistants to eat the food allowance that he was entitled to, like the governors before him. The former governors had taken 40 shekels of silver as their ration every day throughout their rule from the people. Nehemiah did not. And he also did not lord himself over the people, even though he had every right to do so as the appointed governor of Judah. He controlled his own servants and did not even allow them to lord over the people as the former governors had done. He had recognized the food allowance and the daily ration of 40 silver shekels to be a heavy burden imposed on the people. And he chose to pay out of his own pocket in order to maintain himself and his retinue. Moreover, Nehemiah himself worked at the rebuilding of the wall, like any of the Jews under him. He labored side by side with them. And not only this, but he also saw to it that all his servants worked with them as well. He could have escaped from the hard work, setting himself up as a CEO. He could have avoided having his hand dirty, like some of us who do not believe that it is our job to do any so-called donkey work. He saw himself to be like any of the Jews rebuilding the wall, and he did not use the opportunities to acquire land for himself. So every day, Nehemiah paid out of his own pocket. 1 ox, 6 sheep, and poultry, in order to feed the 150 men, Jews and officials, as well as diplomatic visitors gathered in his house. He had recognized the heavy financial burden it would cost the people, and instead he chose to pay from his own wallet. And all this Nehemiah did because he feared the Lord, because he reverenced the Lord. Do we allow our lives to be directed like Nehemiah's because of our fear, our reverence for the Lord? Do we forego our privileges, even those that we are entitled to, because we do not want to be a burden to our people? Do our walking in the fear of the Lord involve a transformation to more godly behavior in our lives? Instead, it often pains me to hear every now and then, "ORPC can pay, let's charge it." Is there a Nehemiah amongst us?